voice of YFS Magazine. It's the Young, Fabulous, and Self-Employed Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Mood.com. We're an online print and design company that makes premium business stationery and promotional materials to kickstart conversations, open doors, and get your startup noticed. Your brand is an occasion. Rise to it. Make a lasting impression with Mood.com.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to the Young, Fabulous, and Self-Employed Podcast. I'm your host, Erica Nicole. So here with me today is Ashlina Caposta, otherwise known as the Decorista. In the design world, Ashlina has grown the Decorista brand into a household name. She's the founder of Ashlina Caposta Interiors, and she's changing her clients' worlds and visual experiences through design in residential and commercial spaces. Ashlina is also a life and a business coach, helping clients find their Ista. So today we're going to talk behind the scenes business, you guys, lifestyle design, the business of blogging, and tips on how to design your personal brand. Ashlina, great to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You're so sweet.
Absolutely. So let's dig in. Tell me and our listeners how you got your start in interior design.
I've always been obsessed with interiors since I was just a little girl. I mean, it's like definitely my obsession, passion. Like I was that girl in Barnes & Noble all day looking at, you know, design books on Saturday and Sunday. Like magazines. So I pretty much grew up just having this fascination with interiors and all things home, you know, like the lifestyle, just like breakfast and entertaining and coffee with family and bedding. I mean, I really just love the art of living. So that's kind of how it started. I went to design school and then immediately after that, I moved to Los Angeles to really like get my career going. I was like, I want to be the next big, you know, Kelly Wurzler designer. And it was a lot harder than I thought it would be. But it was such a cool place to be because LA is super creative and fun and artsy and avant-garde, and I really learned so much. And through time, I finally got my dream job as a design assistant for a celebrity design firm in LA. And that's really where, you know, I learned so much about business and design and really just putting it all together.
At what point did you say to yourself, I want to start building my own brand and even possibly turning it into my own business?
You know, I saw the designers that I worked for, and, you know, when I first started working for them, I was so intimidated. I was really like thinking everybody, you know, was kind of out of touch and unreachable. But I would read these magazine articles and I would see these young girls, you know, in their 30s or mid 20s, and they would kind of be like good press, you know, and just covering like a new girl who kind of went on her own and started her own business. This was like 2006, 2008 timing. And I started to just see this influx of girls who are like blogging and girls who were starting their own businesses, and everybody was kind of moving to online. You know, I still didn't even have a Facebook page at this time. You know, I saw these people sort of doing it online and starting their own businesses, and I just wanted to be like that. Like, I just wanted to work for myself, do my own thing, be in magazine articles about, you know, some creative idea. It just seemed like such a cool deal to me, like, to run your own business.
You know, one of the things I find interesting about your brand, Ashlina, is that you developed an online presence over the years, and from there, you built a high-profile brand. That brand support enabled you to launch other products and services. Contrary to popular belief, good brands take time, right? This has been a several-year journey for you. So take us behind the scenes from launch to noteworthy.
This is such a great question because this, you know, has slowly developed into another passion of mine, and that's sort of like, you know, this education standpoint. And when I first started my blog and my business, I just knew that I was going to become obsessed with this and do it day and night. And so I had nowhere to turn to ask, how do you blog? How do you start a website that's clever? How do you get your content going everywhere? How do you, you know, this was, I mean, before Pinterest, really. So, I mean, I've really been doing this for a long time. It's kind of like trial and error. And I really had to learn by expending all of my energy on what it takes to grow a brand online, like learning social media, studying social media, getting books on like dummies for social media. There just wasn't a lot of information out there. And it seemed to me like everybody else knew about it or was doing it, but there was nothing online to really educate you. And all you could do was really like email another designer or blogger online and ask them questions. Starting in blogging and starting in online social media took a lot of time for me to really learn the ins and outs of how to grow a brand online, how to grow a business online, how to stand out from everybody else who is doing the same thing. And I really just spent all of my time, you know, researching and learning as much as I can about online strategies and social media, but there really wasn't a lot out there. And I noticed as I was growing my business and I'm growing my brand in terms of design, I'm noticing what works and what doesn't work. And in my heart, I'm thinking like, oh, this works. This is a trick. I'm going to note this and jot this down. And over time, I kind of compiled this like book of just success strategies that I use for blogging. And I would get all of these emails from readers asking me how I, you know, learned or how I did it or asking me my secrets. After a time, that kind of became its own other business and brand, was like this sharing information and educating people. And that became a passion of mine. I'm just obsessed with other women and girls who have dreams, because when I started, there was nothing to read. There wasn't anything out there. I was like so thirsty for something like tangible, like someone to give me like the roadmap or the steps or that kind of thing. So that sort of launched into a different brand for me, and that is coaching. And I've written a few like success books and how-to books and business books online for people. And it's really an easy way for me to communicate with my, you know, readers.
Maybe you can shed light on this as well for our listeners. When it comes to the business of blogging, transitioning a blog into a profitable company, what was the tipping point for you? Was there an aha moment, or did it evolve naturally over time?
The biggest point for me was when I actually created my first ebook, Secrets of Style Blogging, and I launched that. At the same time I launched that, I created, you know, a newsletter list. Like I used MailChimp, and I decided like I'm going to build a list to communicate with people who have these questions instead of writing it all out on my blog, because my blog really is, you know, for style and design and home and that kind of thing. So I wanted it to be sort of separate. So for me, the huge launching point was putting out my first ebook, which I self-published, and then having a newsletter to go with that. It almost was just like opened a completely different door with my business and brand.
That's great. So the key takeaway there is this: as your brand grows, you'll likely build more than one target audience, primary, secondary, maybe even a tertiary. So you realized this, Ashlina, and then you segmented your audience accordingly. You developed a different channel to communicate with them without sacrificing your core message. And best of all, you used inbound marketing and email marketing, two proven tools, to launch a new service that complements your brand. I know firsthand the power of ebooks. It's funny because we launched 50 Ways to Plan for Small Business Success in 2012. And to this day, it is still downloaded and acts as a reader acquisition tool for us. So I'm definitely full on board with your tips. Leaning in on that for a moment, what was your direct result? Where did it lead you in brand development?
The great thing about the newsletter list is it taps you into like a very specific audience in a very specific market. Like they really want to connect with you. If they're making the effort to sign up for your newsletter list and have that personal one-on-one conversation instead of just your blog, which goes to the world and kind of is, you know, made generally for, you know, the public, you can really kind of form like a personal communication outlet with a newsletter. And so I really feel like that was a great strategy to really get inside their day-to-day, get inside their email. Like, I'm making myself available to them. They're not having to come out and search for me. It's a different way for you to not only get in front of your fans, but connect with them, let them know, you know, what's going on with you. It just makes your relationship that much more personal. That really establishes like brand loyalty and trust. And I think those are two really key things when you have a personal brand.
Absolutely. And speaking to personal brands, I love a brand that is clear, impactful, high energy, a brand that is self-aware. To you, what is at the core of a high-impact personal brand?
I'll give you some tips from one of my ebooks, which is actually about personal branding. It's called The Passionista Playbook. And basically, it really stems from really digging in and kind of uncovering what you're really passionate about, what your uniqueness is. And this is just a building block of building your personal brand. I feel like there's a lot of layers. But the bottom, the core, the main one is getting really down to asking yourself, you know, why do I even want to have a personal brand? What is my message that I want to put out into the world? Like, what is something burning inside of me that I'm dying to talk about? You know, for me, I would say that mine kind of started with this, like, you know, I would go to people's homes and I would just be like, you need your home to speak. You want to come home and you want your home to talk to you, you want to walk in and be comfortable in your home. It's your sanctuary. I believe that whatever your home is like, your life is like. So, you know, is your closet a mess? That just talks about, you know, are you on time at work? Are you organized? Are you, you know, really killing it with your image that you're putting out there in the world? Same thing with like your kitchen. What does your kitchen look like? How have you outfitted your refrigerator? That should speak to your health. And your office, you know, does it take you forever to find your bills? Are you completely unorganized? Well, that should speak to your business and your level of success and your work development and your work ethic. I just believe that the home is kind of like the base. So that was like my burning message. And that's really where everything stemmed from. In terms of my aesthetic, health play a part in that. So part of, you know, my workbook, my playbook is you really kind of get to like decorating your personal brand. Are you a maximalist? Are you a minimalist? What are your favorite colors? You know, things that you're drawn to, that kind of thing. They all play into like creating and developing this really unique individual that is really you.
That's a really unique take on personal branding. For some entrepreneurs, their personal brand is tied to what they offer in the market, so it comes very naturally. The latter scenario is when an entrepreneur has two distinct brands, a company brand and a personal brand. What tips do you have for an entrepreneur who's listening and thinking, okay, I barely have time to build my company brand. How can I infuse my personal brand into the company in a way that is smart, cohesive, and productive?
Okay, fabulous, fabulous question, because I feel like I have so many examples. For one, let's say not aesthetically, you want to be the face of the brand and your style and your aesthetics are really last thing you're thinking about when you're developing your business. You want your business to kind of have its own brand and concept and idea. How you can inflict your personal brand inside of something like that is your values, your core values. Customer service is huge, you know, when you have sort of a business brand. And who are you within that? Like, what are the key things that you could bring to the table that may be unique? For example, you may be just a completely organized OCD type of person. You could be somebody who speaks, you know, in stories and loves to tell stories. So you've got to find what makes you unique and use those characteristics and those things about your personality, but that you can inflict on your business if it's not you as the face of your personal brand.
Great tip. So let's take a quick break for a message from our sponsor and we'll be right back.
You don't whisper while you're promoting your startup, and a business card shouldn't either. A good one has a big voice that helps tell your story. With beautifully designed business cards for Moo.com, you're sure to get noticed. Our range of high-quality cards, premium paper, and exclusive design templates make it easy to create a business card as unique as you. Visit moo.com/YFS to create yours today and receive 15% off. Yay!
All right, you guys, we're back, and I'm with Ashlina Kaposa. She's the founder of The Decorista. We've been talking about the business of blogging. how to design your personal brand. But let's shift gears for a moment. Let's debunk some common misconceptions about personal branding. What are you hearing that makes you think, well, not exactly?
When it comes to personal branding, you know, everybody says, you know, you have to be forward thinking, you have to be innovative, you have to be unique and something different and something that nobody's ever seen. And I feel like I hear that a lot of times. And people kind of put pressure on you to be different or unique or ahead of the times. And a lot of people are just kind of sitting there going, wait, I don't feel that way. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that means. They almost get like analysis paralysis in that way. I find that with a lot of my clients, and they're just kind of like, but I only do this and I do that, kind of just like everybody else. I feel like I don't know what sets me apart and what, you know, makes me different. And so I think that, you know, the thing to remember is that it's really just being you. Like, I could be exactly just like you, and we're doing the same two things. We've got so many of the same values and aesthetics and characteristics and the different, you know, ways that we go about doing business. But you have to remember at the end of the day, like, I am Ashlina, you know, and you are you. And that is enough. You are enough in having that personal brand, even if you're intimidated that somebody else has gone before you.
That's a powerful brand statement. No one is you, and that's your brand power. Many entrepreneurs will try to be all of these things and fail to communicate one thing really well. When you have a laser-focused brand, it cuts through market noise and it connects in a really unforgettable way.
Right.
Speaking of connecting, the Decorista brand has fueled different offerings, from interior design to coaching, and even to you doling out decor therapy. What is the thinking behind your brand evolution?
Well, the cool thing about being an entrepreneur, I really, you know, I love this about our ability, you know, in our own work, is that you can really try and do anything. And as I grow and as I, you know, kind of move or have changes in life, different things become what I'm currently passionate about. And I think that that's one thing that really defines your personal brand as well. You know, that's something I talk about in my book, authenticity to who you are. You know, I'm not decorating, let's say, with all my old furniture anymore and telling you how to revamp it. I'm actually at the point in my life where I'm able to buy new things and afford a little bit nicer things. So how you can really make that work for you. And so same thing, as I learn in my business and I learn business success strategies, they become what I'm currently obsessed with and what I'm really passionate about. And so sort of incorporating, like, what's my authentic self right now and services that lend to that, it sort of evolves over time. And I think what doesn't work kind of falls away, and what works, you continue. That's the cool thing about, I think, being an entrepreneur, is you constantly get to evolve. I don't think there's a limit to what you could do, but as long as you're staying really authentic to what is true for you, it works.
Evolving in business. You know, throughout that journey, there are plenty of hard-won lessons. I mean, we could probably develop an entire series on the lessons we learn along the way. For you, what has been the hardest lesson you've learned in business so far?
Letting go of what doesn't work. You know, letting go of things that don't work, not considering yourself a failure or calling yourself a failure in that, and just allowing the right thing to sort of come up for you.
Letting go of things that don't work. Absolutely. You know, as entrepreneurs, it's okay to rework the plan. Success even requires it. When you're super passionate about your business, you put it out into the world, you've done your due diligence, and if you still try to cram it down the market's throat, the market ends up with a very bad taste in their mouth. And most importantly, they're leery of anything you try to feed it ever again. Honestly, letting go of tested ideas makes room for more of what works.
Totally. Totally.
Let's have a moment of silence for all of those things we've let go. All right. So, you know, letting go is essentially the pivot. In terms of the Decorista, what significant pivots have you made that, looking back, were a bit unexpected?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. Definitely my biggest was starting the ebook, doing my first ebook and launching my success coaching business. that opened a huge other door of connection for me with people. Through that, you know, I really began to speak at a lot of conferences and interior design market seminars. And, you know, I got asked to participate in things that kind of led more to entrepreneurship and success. And what's interesting is, as I'm really thinking, I'm just there and I'm just here to help everybody else and, you know, share my tools and share what I've learned. It really has opened me up to a whole new passion and energy for myself. Like, it personally gave back to me, you know, and a lot of connections with people who are able to start their own successful businesses through what I've taught them. That's like a really big deal for me. And so I felt like it almost was that turning point for me was really pivotal on a personal level, because it was finally about my business really giving something back to me. And that may sound a little weird, but I think it like reinvigorated me and gave me a whole new energy to work with, like a whole new perspective really on life, you know, just took me into a whole different dimension, a whole different level of business, a whole different world of even other people to connect with.
That's a really good point. When you first start up, you are really focused on transactional bottom line initiatives that align with your passion. But when you start making money, your idea of achievement does in fact change. As a startup, you're always chasing success. As a thriving entrepreneur, you start chasing greatness. And the common denominator is to see what the world needs, create value in a real way, and ultimately give back.
Yeah.
So speaking of giving back, there are some great online tools that give back to entrepreneurs in a really big way. What are your favorites?
Definitely number one for any Apple, you know, Mac users. I'm definitely like a Mac devotee. Apple Pages has completely revolutionized my business. It's like this app where you can create cool images, create cool collages. I create all my PDFs for my media kits. I create my contracts for certain things on there. I've created, you know, lookbooks in that and shop things. It's just this easy, easy to use tool. It's about $20, and I think even on the new Macs, it comes free. It has really just been able to like take my business for sure next level. And then, you know, Instagram and, you know, having all of these camera app tools on your phone has also translated something. I mean, a huge chunk of my clients come from Instagram. You know, I could say like something like 68% of my readers on my blog come through Pinterest. So images are key, and I am not like a professional photographer, nor can I afford to have a professional photographer shoot, you know, all my visions and ideas all the time. So I also think that Instagram and I use VistoCam is another one that just like has completely revolutionized what I do.
Good ones. To recap, that's Apple Pages, Instagram, VistoCam app, which is spelled VSCOCam. And, you know, I initially underestimated Instagram. As a result, we were late to the Instagram party. However, when we started to think about it more creatively, we launched in 2014, and it really has been a powerful tool. Instagram has contributed to real business results for us, not to mention the feedback and engagement. We even use the social analytics tool Iconosquare to tap into our Instagram data, and it's definitely a brand builder.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, I had people have reached out, like artists, and I've discovered new art. I mean, it's just like this huge marketplace, and it also allows people to keep in touch and connect with you, you know, on their day-to-day level. It just blew my mind.
Me too. So I hate that we have to wrap this up. You've shared a lot of great insight with our listeners. So tell me, what is one piece of personal branding advice that our listeners can use in the next 24 hours to grow their businesses?
One of the ones in the book that I really love and it's really fun is basically to get dressed. Okay, so what you'll want to do is, I mean, something you could do almost immediately as you're listening to this podcast, just walk into your closet and pick out your favorite outfit and make sure these colors really speak to you. Like, make sure, you know, if you like all black, wear all black. If you're a gray person and you like muted and neutrals and get everything, your most favorite outfit that you could wear every day, accessories, all of that, kind of lay it out, take a picture of it, and begin to determine your brand from that. What can you take away from that? Like, when you start to see these different things about, you know, your personal outfit and your favorite sort of look, it can lend exactly to who you are, and it can kind of create, you know, the launching point of your brand.
You know, that's a good point. Your style of dress is a visual element. It's part of your personal brand. It helps inform what your audience perceives about you.
Yeah. And really, you know, the key to remember is, like, to be consistent with your brand. On your Instagram and the way that you communicate with the world, the way that you tell your message, stay within that brand. Stay very true to kind of what works for you, what you like. And that sets you on the right course.
And, you know, for an entrepreneur that may say, well, I don't really need a personal brand, newsflash, you're a brand if you do and you're a brand if you don't. So I'd rather be self-aware about my brand than be oblivious to it. Either way, it's going to impact my bottom line.
No doubt, because, you know, here's the deal. If you want to walk out and be everything to everyone, that's fine. But you're missing out on something really special, because when you find your niche and you find your, you know, your brand, let's say only one type of client and one type of individual, there are going to be just, you know, as many people who relate to specifically the thing that you're giving, the thing that, you know, sets you apart, as you would find reaching out to everybody, right? But now you're just kind of narrowing your people down, and I don't think you're going to lose out on business or lose a customer base. You're going to just really make a strong impact. They're going to, like, love you.
And we'll end on that powerful note. Thank you, Ashleena, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's totally been fun.
To learn more about Ashleena Kaposta, visit thedecorista.com and connect with her on Instagram at thedecorista. And for more fresh, provocative, and insanely addictive business know-how, visit yfsmagazine.com. And as always, have a successful and productive week ahead. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Mood.com. We're an online print and design company that makes premium business stationery and promotional materials to kickstart conversations, open doors, and get your startup noticed. Your brand is an occasion. Rise to it. Make a lasting impression with Mood.com.